We preach on fundamentals for a reason. And that reason being that if we do not develop the right foundation, as we're taught in Matthew 7, the difference between the wise and the foolish is the type foundation or the type ground upon which they put that foundation. And so we study fundamentals to begin to be able to get to the point somewhere further on down the line, whereas we can sing as we did a little while ago and really mean it and look forward to when we all get to heaven. And to be able to see Jesus, there have been a lot of times in our lives that are joyful, a wedding, a birth, a promotion. Probably for you and I who are Christians, the greatest joy we ought to have is seeing people become Christians. Our erring Christians come home. It ought to just make our day and make our week better knowing that our work together has somehow benefited some person in a spiritual way. And then eventually over a period of time get to that point where we can see Jesus and be with him for all eternity and just think what it'll be like to experience that. But before we can experience that, we have to begin at the bottom. If that's the top, then we begin at the bottom. We hear the word of God and we believe it. We repent of our sins. We confess our faith in Christ. We're baptized for the remission of our sins. Then the Lord adds us to the church. And so many times when a person has been baptized, we kind of relax and think, well, that's all there is to it. We've got him baptized. Now he's okay, but there's so much more. I saw a number of years back a definition of the term discipline, and it goes like this. The true meaning of discipline is not punishment, but it is the development of self-control and teamwork which enable men to strive for perfection and accomplish greatness. Discipline in this sense is how we change our lives, how we form our lives, beginning with our thinking, then following through with our actions and living the kind of life that God wants us to live. We have to discipline ourselves to do that. When you and I begin to think about the work that God has given us to do, the basic work of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People seem to have different goals in religious matters. I heard someone say a while back that the church's idol today is great big buildings. And I remember when Brother DeGarmo was here, he was talking about the work that he was doing up there in Chillicothe. And he talked about how zealous the people were and how fervently they worked until they finished their building. And then they just kind of relaxed. But a building is not our goal. A big, fancy, comfortable, elaborate place for us to meet is not our goal. That's not what the Lord died that you and I might do. He died upon the cross of Calvary that you and I might take part in the salvation of the souls of mankind. Our own. And then others that we might have some influence over. When we begin to think about this old world out here, and we even can think about our congregation, how diverse we are. Some make their living some way, some in other ways. Some have a certain amount of education, others have another amount. Some more, some less. But regardless of that, if one has dedicated himself to the service of God, he can do great things. And as we noticed at the end of this definition, it says that the result of disciplining ourselves is to be able to accomplish greatness, to do something really great, something really worthwhile, something eternal in nature. As we think about going out into the world and we think about the differences of the people with whom we would deal, and this is true in going out to work on Monday morning. You go into a plant, you go into an office, and there are all kinds of people there. As you and I associate with people socially, we associate with people who are, again, some highly educated, some not. In my working in automobile shops, I've worked with people who had college educations, and I had worked with people who had eighth grade educations. And I had dealt with both groups. I dealt with people who were good morally and people who were very immoral. And you can just go down a whole list of things that differ people, one from the other. And as we go out in the world to preach the gospel, we have to deal with all of those people. They came from different backgrounds, different parents, different intellects, and being taught different things and influenced in different ways. And yet we take that group of people and try to bring them to Christ. And so the Apostle Paul was talking about becoming all things to all men that he might in some way gain some. He was thinking about the different people that he dealt with and how he approached this one and then how he approached that one, how he worked with this one and how he worked with that one. But his goal was to gain some. To gain some. That's the important thing. So we begin on that foundation. The foundation being the Word of God, the foundation being Jesus Christ himself, and we ourselves improve ourselves building upon Jesus and upon his Word to the point that we can deal with those people and maybe accomplish someday greatness in being able to bring about the souls, salvation of the souls of those people. So we take all kinds and we look at what the Bible teaches and we take them in, we have taught them, that as we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that they are to give themselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's our beginning. We teach them the basics so that they can understand what is expected of them. Sometimes people fall away from the truth because the church is not what they thought it was going to be. Some people think it's to be a great recreational thing that's just a lot of fun, but it's not that. That's not what the Bible describes the church to be. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is the institution that is to take the gospel to the world and save the souls of mankind. The church is not for fun. Jesus did not die upon the cross for you and me to enjoy ourselves. But as we grow, we begin to enjoy different things. We used to enjoy worldly things. But now the things that give us the greatest pleasure are spiritual things. We used to really enjoy going to athletic contests. Now, as we were taught this morning, we ought to be able to really enjoy assembling ourselves together, being in the presence of Jesus. When he said two or three are gathered together, there will I be also, that we need not to think that we're coming together out of habit, or we don't want to be coming together out of habit or out of obligation, but out of a genuine desire to experience New Testament Christianity in worship, in association, in sacrifice. And in doing that, we grow. And what used to be a burden for us, what we used to think of as an obligation, now has become a precious thing to us, a thing that we really enjoy. And once we have gotten to the point where we have obeyed the gospel, then that just begins our development. The true meaning of discipline is not punishment, but the development of self-control. Development is that first word. We want to develop ourselves. When for the time that we ought to be teachers, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, what should we be? If we have to go back again to the very fundamentals and start over, then we've wasted a lot of time. We've lost a lot of opportunities. When for the time that we ought to have developed ourselves with the help of faithful brethren, and when for the time that faithful brethren ought to have helped that newborn babe in Christ develop, he hasn't developed, then he has failed and we have failed. And so development is such an important part of our Christianity. Begin with fundamentals, but then grow on past that to where we can do those great things. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If I haven't grown over a period of time, then I haven't done any developing. I'm not any better than I was when I started. I may have had a fairly good foundation, but if I haven't built on that foundation, if I hadn't got above that foundation, then I haven't applied myself. And maybe I haven't had the support that I should have had. We find as we develop ourselves, as we find in this definition, it's the development of self-control, controlling self. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he pointed out the fact that he was concerned, as we find in chapter 9 and verse 27, that after he had preached unto others, he might be a castaway. He realized that there was, without self-control, the possibility that he could be lost. Even after doing a number of things that he had done, even after having developed himself to a point, he said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. Paul had the same lusts and the same temptations that you and I have as he walked upon this earth and as we walk upon this earth. He said, I buffet my body, and I take that to mean he, not literally but figuratively, spanked himself. He punished himself. He kept himself in control. And that's what, of course, we're required to do, lest after we have even taught others, we ourselves might stumble. So we want to develop our self-control. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, if any man cometh after me, let him deny self. In our development, one of the things we learn to do is to say no to ourselves. We rear our children, we say no to them. When we were children, our parents said no to us. But the secret of development is getting to the point where we say no to ourselves. An opportunity is presented to us to sin. And the lust of the flesh is great. And we think it would be such a pleasure to be able to jump into that and enjoy that for a while. But that's when we have to say no. I cannot do that. Joseph said, how can I sin against God and do this thing? When we get like Joseph and a Potiphar's wife comes along and the opportunity is presented to us to satisfy the lust of the flesh, it should not be a pleasing thing or a pleasurable thing, but it should be an ugly thing. And we should not see it as an opportunity to do something that would be good for us, but look at it as something that would condemn our souls. How can I do this thing and sin against my God? Joseph had developed to the point that at least at the time of David and Bathsheba, he was further along than David was. And so we develop ourselves by experiencing self-control, by practicing self-control, by learning self-control. And in that, we learn to think more about others. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, 13, if meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no meat so long as the world standeth. He realized that saving souls was his obligation. And as you and I study Paul, and he has been converted now, the Lord has appeared to him, he's really made that 100% change, and he sees the salvation of the souls of others as his purpose in life. That's his job. That's his obligation. And for him to achieve greatness, that's what he's going to do. He's going to develop himself. He's going to develop his self-control. And then he is able to make sacrifices for others. It may be all right to eat meat. And of course, as we study several passages that deal with the eating of meats offered to idols, we are taught that it's not a sin unless we take that freedom and cause someone else to sin. While you and I understand that an idol is nothing in the world, we're told that not everybody understands that. And so as we grow, as we develop our self-control, we are perfectly willing to deny self in order to bring about the salvation of that person who doesn't know what we know. And so we deny self until such time as That person knows what we know. And so when our helping him to grow, we can help him develop his self-control. But I notice in this definition also that it's the development of self-control and teamwork. As we are born on this earth, we're born as individuals. Me. And we're concerned about me. And we want to please me. But as we grow older, we find that we can't operate by ourselves. Even in creation, God said it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helpmeet. And we are in honor to prefer one another. We are Christians. We need each other. We need our supporting one another. Try to get us all up to that point where we can see Jesus when we all get to heaven. That's our goal. And so we want to be a member of the church that the Lord added us to, and a member of a local congregation that's engaged in teaching the truth, the pillar and the ground of the truth in this community. If we were not here, look what a void there would be in this community. If the church over at Capshaw were not there, what a void that would be. And the elders and myself are considering helping, well, all of us. In fact, I think we've pretty much made the decision to help Bethel, Tennessee continue to spread the gospel up there. Because if that little congregation dies, then there's going to be a void up there. And the opportunities that are there, you couldn't take care of those opportunities. And so in our working together, whether it's Chillicothe, Ohio, or whether it's here, or whether it's in Bethel, Tennessee, or wherever it might be, our goal is to bring about the salvation of mankind. And so we work as a team. You and I here, we worship together, we work together, we contribute of our means, and efforts that we make can lead others toward Christ, and the contributions that we give can be used to support the gospel in other places and keep the church alive even in places where it's in danger of falling away or disappearing. And we're aware of the fact that in a lot of places, congregations have just ceased to exist. And so we don't want that to happen. We want to be a team working together among ourselves to accomplish what we can accomplish here. But as far as we're able to go with the opportunities and the ability that God has given us, we want to do everything we can to save the souls of mankind. And not just in a kind of a lackadaisical or comfortable way, but we need to be straining. We need to be straining. We need to be in a strain, trying to accomplish as much as we possibly can accomplish in God's scheme of things. Well, when we have, as we find in this definition, when we have developed self-control and teamwork, we find that enables man to accomplish perfection. Enable men to rather strive for perfection. That hasn't made us perfect, but just puts us in a position where we can go on toward perfection or completeness in God's scheme of things. And so as we strive for perfection, we remember Paul talking in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15 about pressing for the mark, what I've just been talking about. We need to press for the mark. Strive to be the best person we can possibly be. Sacrifice. Carry that burden. Sweat a little bit. Strain. I remember a mechanic telling me that he started out in a shop where his father worked. And as he started out, every time he got a hold of a job that he wasn't sure about, he'd go get his daddy. And his daddy would help him. But finally, his father told him, "Son, I got to make a living too." And so what he was telling his son was that you've got to get to the point where you can do these jobs, where you can fix this problem and let me over here fix another to benefit me. We've got to get to that point where we are able to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, a lot of times we need help, and I've not yet got to the point where on occasion I couldn't use some help and advice from other people. And that's one reason I like to associate with other preachers, that they, a lot of them have been places I haven't been and done things that I've not done, and it's just great to be able to get together with a few of them and talk about our experiences. But the point is, we need to strive for perfection, to press toward that mark. Philip went down and found the eunuch. That was his mission. Given the opportunity and given the obligation by the Spirit, he was sent down there and he joined himself to that chariot. And he said to the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "No. And how can I, except some man guide me?" I want to be that man who can guide him. Don't you? As we strive for perfection, as we work toward it, we want to get to be the one who can do the job, who can be depended upon to assist those who are not yet up quite to where I have gotten to be. And since I have not yet reached the top, I still depend sometimes on others to reach down and grab me and pull me up another step. And I guess it'll be that way until the time that the soul is separated from the body. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are a lot of powerful things in this old world, but there's nothing any more powerful than the Word of God. There are a lot of things that can kill and maim. We read in the paper and we watch on television every day where Al-Qaeda or some other terrorist group has blown up 20 or 30 people. Or where some group of fanatics have come into a shopping place in the last week with swords and killed a great number of people and maimed some others. And they think that because they're able to do that in a cowardly fashion and in surprise, that they have some power, and they do have some power. They strike fear into the hearts of people. But that's not the kind of power we want. Iran wants power. They want that nuclear weapon. And it would be powerful. You and I think back to World War II, what the atomic bombs meant to the United States. It really stopped World War II. But look how many people it killed. Isn't it a shame that our country had to do that? Well, if everybody wanted to do what was right, there was a better way. Instead of killing, those people could have been saved if we had gotten the Word of God to them. Now, here's your power. And we don't want the power to kill. We want the power to give life. And when we do that, then we will have achieved greatness. When there are people that you and I have taught, when there are people that you and I have influenced, when people have come to us with problems and we've been able to explain to them from the Word of God, when we're able to give an answer for the hope that lieth within us and that benefits that individual, then we have done something great. In that we have helped an individual put himself in a position where he can expect eternal life. Eternal life. Is there anything else that you'd rather do than that? When someone comes forth from the water or grave of baptism that maybe you've had in a class or you've had some influence over or that you've preached to or that you've just encouraged along the line in one way or another or that you've been a good influence for, it makes you feel good to know I had a part. When I baptize someone up here, it's not that I have by myself done some great thing, but there's always a culmination of people, a group of people, better way of putting it, who've had influencing the lives of that individual over the time they've spent here upon this earth. And when all of that comes together, then we have accomplished greatness. But to be carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, and to get to go to heaven, and as we sang a little while ago, how we'll shout when we see Jesus, then we will have accomplished true greatness, the ultimate greatness. If tonight you couldn't expect that, were your soul to be taken, then start to work on your foundation. If you're not a Christian, become a Christian. If you're an erring child of God, straighten up the way you've been building. Get off that sand and get on the rock. Develop self-control, teamwork, and then we together can accomplish great things. Tonight, if we can assist you in any way, we want you to avail yourself of that. If you've heard his word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, you've just laid the foundation. If you're an erring child of God and you've laid the foundation like the prodigal son, you can come home. As Simon the sorcerer, by repentance and prayer, you can be restored. It'll be a great day in your life. And from that point on, if you discipline yourself, you can grow and truly accomplish greatness. If we can help you, won't you come while together we stand and sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by.